Welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message, and that you'll share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John concludes the series entitled, Accepting the Love of God. Jesus could have publicly appeared at the temple, but instead chose to only reveal himself to the disciples, because the gospel must be accepted by faith. He still had a tender mercy after the resurrection and took time to minister during the next 40 days, building the faith of the disciples before he ascended from the Mount of Olives, where he promised he would return at the end of the Antichrist's reign to set up the thousand-year kingdom. Jesus is in heaven today, operating in full glory and power, possesses the keys to death and hell, and someday will return to rule in righteousness. Are you ready? This message is entitled, The Risen Jesus. Now, let's go to the sanctuary and join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, April the 1st, 2012. As I stated before, this is Palm Sunday. I do not celebrate Fool's Day, but I do celebrate Palm Sunday. And if you want to take your Bible right now with me and turn to Matthew chapter 28, and this is going to be the last message in a series, Accepting the Love of God. Accepting the Love of God. And we're going to look in Matthew chapter 28. And we're now going to look upon the resurrection of Jesus. How was the resurrection of Jesus announced? And we're going to go through the four Gospels here. In the Gospel of Matthew, an angel gives the news of the resurrection to Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James. If you read here from Matthew 28, the first 8 verses. In the end of the Sabbath day. Actually, in the end of the Sabbath. Now, let me make this clear. Sabbath means day of rest. And this was on a Saturday. At the end of Saturday, or the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week. Now, Sunday is the first day of the week in a Jewish calendar. Came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not you, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said, Come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goes before you to Galilee. There you shall see him. Lo, I have told you. Now, as these women came to the grave, we're going to read later on in other Gospels here that they were actually going there to anoint him and prepare his body in the grave. And an angel came and said, Fear not, he's risen. Now turn to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. And we pick it up here from verse number 1. Mark 16, chapter 1. And when the Sabbath day was past, Mary Magdalene, and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome, had brought sweet spices that he might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day, Sunday morning, the first day of the week, they came to the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulcher? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in long white garment. And they were afraid. And he said unto them, be not afraid. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which is crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell the disciples and Peter, that he goes before into Galilee. There shall you see him, as he said unto you. In the third gospel, Luke chapter 23. That's the gospel of Luke. And the 23rd chapter. We have another account of the resurrection. That's Luke 23. And we pick it up in verse number 49. And all his acquaintance and the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off beholding these things. This is now at where they crucified him. And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, who was a good man and a just. The same man consented to the counsel deed of them. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, also himself waiting for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate to beg the body of Jesus. And he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulchre that was hewn in stone, where never man before was laid. And that day was the preparation of Sabbath drew on. And the women also which came with him from Galilee followed after and beheld the sepulchre and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Now the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found a stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said to them, why seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered to hands of sinful men, be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all things unto the 11. And to all the rest. And then, in verse 11, we read something amazing. And their words, actually let me read verse 10 too. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James and other women that were with them, which told the things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them like as idle tales, and they believed them not. The men, the 11 apostles, Judas is dead, the 70 others, these men that have walked with Jesus for 3.5 years, they have been given authority to cast out devils, raise the dead, heal the sick, open the eyes of the blind. When they got word he's risen, every apostle, every man said, this is idle talking. This is women talk. We don't believe it. They had unbelief. It's amazing. And over the years, it has been easier to win women for Christ than men. Let's turn now to the last count in the Gospel of John, chapter 20. John, chapter 20. If you want to read the first 10 verses here. The first day of the week came Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, into the sepulchre, and sees the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runs and comes to Simon Peter and to the other disciple Jesus loved, and said unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, the other disciple came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloth lying, yet went he not in. Then comes Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and sees the linen clothed lie. And the napkin that was about his head, not lying with linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also the other disciple, came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as they knew not the scripture, they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own home. We have now four accounts. They are a little bit different, but they have the same meaning. We had the women there. We had angels there proclaiming Jesus was risen. Now, I really want you to think with me here this morning as you get into the next part of the message revealing himself. 3 days prior to this, Jesus had been taken first to the Jewish council, Sanhedrin, condemned to death, taken to Pilate, the Roman court, the highest court in Palestine in those days, condemned to death. Publicly, he had been taken to Calvary. Publicly, he had been crucified, lifted up, and publicly, he had died in Jerusalem. And everyone knew that he had died. Wouldn't it then behoove God, if this was done publicly, that he would simply have Jesus resurrected and appear first on Calvary, and then Jesus walking into Jerusalem, walking into the palace, and simply said, hey, Pilate, I have something to tell you, Pilate. I am now resurrected, and you are condemned to death. Wouldn't it be natural for Jesus to walk down to the Sanhedrin, to Caiaphas and all the other high priest and the rest of them, and simply said, Caiaphas, come here. You're a liar. I'm resurrected. You are toast. You had it. You know what would happen? Pilate would have simply said, proclamation, this is the Son of God. Let's write to Rome and tell them that God has come down to us here. The Jews, the leadership, would have no other choice than to simply bow and say, Jesus is Lord. Why did God not go that way? Unless you understand the whole gospel, you don't understand this. You see, the conflict is not between us and God. The conflict was between God and Lucifer. The conflict was the war that raged through the universe. The trial before Adam and Eve was born, or actually created. The sentence of Lucifer to the lake of fire, and upholding that sentence and postponing it to prove God's righteousness. Understand this, Maya. God has to do things in such a way that Satan can hinder. And the gospel was never preached by angels. The gospel never be preached by angels. But the gospel is entrusted to man. Because Satan has access to every man, every woman. He has access to us. And in this way, Satan cannot say, God, this is not fair. You're getting people saved and I can't stop it. That's the reason that the gospel was given to man. Jesus did not reveal himself publicly, but he revealed himself to his disciples. It is up to us to proclaim the gospel. And if we don't, it will not be done by angels. Do you realize from about 400 B.C., actually 400 A.D., to approximately 1500, a time period of 1,100 years, almost nowhere was the gospel preached. The majority of the people living for 1,100 years went all straight to hell because there was no gospel preached to them. Until God found a man, Martin Luther, that revived the gospel. Turn me right now to Luke chapter 24. And I want to show you there the compassion that Jesus had after his resurrection. That's Luke chapter 24. Now, I will guarantee you, if you would check every message given next Sunday by every preacher in the world that's preaching the gospel, that you will not hear them give the explanation I gave you today. You will never hear that in another church. Maybe there might be some, but very few. In Luke 24, verse number 13, we read this. And behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all the things that had happened. And it came to pass that when they would commune together and reason, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were held that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one another as you walk, and are sad? Jesus, matter of fact, if you turn to my left, your right, there is a picture of the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, and Jesus standing with them. This is a replica. This is not an original. The replica hangs in Europe someplace. And as they walk down that nice little road, as you can look upon that, Jesus came up and said, now, why are you so sad? Why are you not happy? What's going on? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said to him, are you only a stranger in Jerusalem? Have not known the things which have come to pass in these days? And he said to them, what things? I like Jesus. He knew it. He was there. And he said to him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mightily indeed and word for God and all the people. They said he was a prophet. And the chief priests and the rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which had redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today's the third day, and these things were done. Have you ever doubted? But we trusted that it had been he which had been redeemed Israel. They had hoped for. And when they found not his body, Yea, and certain women also in our company made us astonished, which very early at the sepulchre, when they found out his body, came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Look at Jesus responding now. He's not really rebuking them. He simply said, O fools, slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter the glory? Beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he expounded them in all the scriptures, the thing concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village where they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But he constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went into terror with them. And it came to pass, as he set that meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Can you imagine that day? They sat down to have a little supper that day. The stranger sat down with them. And the moment he broke the bread, he opened their eyes, and they see, and they saw Jesus. They saw Jesus. Now they had walked all day. As we looked upon that picture, they walked all day, but look what they did. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. They didn't go to bed. And found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed, has appeared to Simon. Now, they got excited. Have you been excited over Jesus? Let's read now from verses 36 to 49. And as he thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. That's how much belief they had. And he said to them, Why are you troubled? Or why do your thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold, my hands and my feet, that is, I myself handle me and see, for a spirit and not flesh and bones you see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered unto them, he said this, Have you any meat or food? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of honeycomb, and he took it and ate before them. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you, while I was yet with you. Did all things might be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophet and the psalm concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. Wouldn't it be lovely to have Jesus appearing here today? You all be on the floor, I can tell you that, worshiping him. But he's here through the Holy Spirit. And he's inside each one of us that are born again because we have the Father and the Son living in us through the Holy Spirit. And he's speaking to us, I am risen. We sang a song today, Resurrection, Life of Jesus Church. That song was written about 1990. By a song leader we had at that time by the name of Steve Olson. Steve Olson. And he wrote that song. He played the guitar. And Bill Chacon was with us in those days too. And he came one day and he said, I got a song. I said, That's great. What is it? And he took his guitar and began to sing the Resurrection Life of Jesus song. And I said, That's a great song. That was a song that God gave this church, Resurrection Life of Jesus. Because all of us have been through resurrection. Many of you have been resurrected in this church. from sin, bondage, defeat, whatever it is, you've been resurrected. Let's turn to John chapter 21. The Gospel of John chapter 21. We're going to take a look now at Peter. How did Jesus treat Peter? Have you ever cursed the Lord? Don't raise any hands. Have you ever said to God that you're mad at him? Well, Peter kind of was a loudmouth. And before they were going to the Garden of Gethsemane, Peter stood up and said, "Hey, Lord, if all these men, you know, they desert you, if they flake on you, Jesus, I'll be there. I'll be there. Me, Peter. Count me in. I'm there." Peter was the first one to deny him three times. Now, I'm sure that Peter was crushed. He said he went out and wept bitterly. And we look in John 21, and we look up at the first verse. After this thing, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed himself. There were together Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, that's a doubter, Nathanael of Canaan in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Now, half of the disciples, the apostles, now had gone fishing. They had gone back. Simon preached unto them, "I go fishing." They said to him, "We also go with you." They went forth into the ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was not now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any meat? Have you any food?" They answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast a net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find." They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Then that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Now when Simon Peter heard it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came into the ship, for they were not far from land, which was about 200 cubits, dragging a net of fishes. And as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire and coals there, and fish laid upon, and bread. Jesus unto them, "Bring of the fish which you have not caught." Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of great fishes, 153, and for all there were so many, yet not was the net broken. Jesus said to them, "Come and dine." We sing that song. We have sung that many times here. And none of the disciples durst ask him, "Who are you?" knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then comes and breaks bread and gives them, and fish likewise. This is not a third time that Jesus showed himself to disciples after he was risen from the dead. So when they have dined, I'm sure that Peter was just hanging around there, feeling very uncomfortable. Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yea, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." Now, if you read this in the Greek, Jesus asking him if he was agapeo, which means, "Do you have a divine love for me?" And Peter answers, says, "I have a phileo, I have a brotherly love for you." He says to him again the second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you have a divine love for me?" He said to him, "Yea, Lord, you know that I love you as a brother." He said to him, "Feed my sheep." The third time, Jesus changed and said, "Simon, do you love me?" He used the word not phileo. Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, Lord, lovest thou me? And he said to me, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. What did Jesus do the three times in front of the disciples? Because at this point, the disciples had lost respect for Peter. They simply had no respect for Peter. They felt he cursed Jesus three times. He lied and he boasted. They had no respect for him. And Jesus pulled Peter up three times. And then he said, Peter, you feed my sheep. Jesus restored Peter back to full fellowship. And then we read on here. Verily, verily said to you, when you was young, you girded yourself or you clothed yourself and walked wherever you wanted. But you shall be old, you shall be stretched forth your hands. Another person shall clothe you or dress you and carry you whither you would not. This spake is signified by what death you should glorify God. When he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. Peter worked in Jerusalem, Judea, and then he went to Babylon, stayed in Babylon for a number of years, and eventually ended up in Rome, where he was beheaded. Now, when Peter heard this now, he still had a little bit, you know, of personality left in him. And he simply said, now, what shall this man do? He was looking at John, the Apostle John. What's this guy going to do? Jesus said to him, if I will, he tarry till I come. What is that to you? Follow you me. The message Jesus gave was simple this. Don't worry about what God is going to have each one of us do. Take care of your job. Take care of your calling. Do what God had told you to do. Pray for the rest of them. But you are not the Holy Spirit. You don't have to straighten them out. You don't have to do this or that. If each one of us follow Jesus, we will have the perfect church. Wouldn't that be great? Now, in Acts 1, we read this. For 40 days, Jesus showed himself to his disciples. The former treatise of our maid, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach, unto the day in which he was taken up through the Holy Ghost and given commandments unto the apostles he had chosen, to whom he also showed himself alive unto his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. For 40 days, Jesus continually revealed himself to the apostles, the 70 others, to the women, to those who had followed him. And then after 40 days, let me try to lay this out for you. The day Jesus was crucified was the day before the high, what they call the high holiday. He was crucified on a Wednesday. Pentecost, which means 50 days after the Passover, there are 50 days between the crucifixion and Pentecost. We have 3 days in the grave. We have 7 days where they were in the upper room. And 40 days that Jesus walked with them. On the final farewell, after 40 days, Jesus took them up to Mount Olivet. And I have never really looked upon Mount Olivet. I simply thought it was just a hill. But it's a ridge that runs north-south east of Jerusalem is about 2.2 miles long. It has three little mountaintops. This ridge, three mountaintops. And we do not know from which one Jesus left. He doesn't tell us that. But I gave you the elevations here. 2,700 feet, 2,600 feet, and 2,400 feet. And I want you now to picture in your mind, standing on this ridge, this little mountain top, and Jesus is standing right at the very top of it, disciples standing around, and you read the following account. And being assembled to them, together with them, and commanded them they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, you should be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father has put in his own power. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me both in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and into the uttermost part of the earth. When he finished that speaking, suddenly Jesus became airborne. I picture him, you have seen rockets taking off at Cape Canaveral as we sent him out to space. And Jesus is standing there, and suddenly, slowly but surely, he's beginning to rise, and he's rising faster and faster, and eventually he disappears in the cloud. And you can just imagine the disciples, grief, sorrow, a final farewell. Jesus left us. When he had spoken his things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of our sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Then returning to Jerusalem, for the Mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. Now, Jesus had lifted off. Lift off. Gone. He went back into heaven. If you take with me now and turn to the Bible, Zechariah. Zechariah is hanging out just at the end of the Old Testament. And I just happen to be so blessed I just got right to that. So I'm going to beat you today, Zechariah chapter 14. And I'm sure you want to read the book of Zechariah because you don't want to get to heaven. And you're introduced to Zechariah and he would ask you to read my book. And you say, what book? Zechariah chapter 14. Behold, the day of the Lord comes, and thy spoils shall be divided in the midst of you. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, the houses rifled, the women ravished, half of the city shall go forth to captivity, and the rest of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, and when he fought in the day of battle, and his feet shall stand in that day upon a mount of olives, or Olivet, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the mount of olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley. Half of the mountain shall remove to the north, and half of it toward the south. They run north and south now. And you shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Esau. Yea, you shall flee like as you fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come and all the saints with him. Now, when you read Zechariah here, you have several different prophecies in this chapter. First, he talked about the day of the Lord. That is at the end time. He then talks about in verse number 2 about gathering the nations and Jerusalem taken, and that took place in about 590 B.C. when Babylonians came and took the people there, took them captive and killed all the women and so on. Verse number 3 talked about the Lord will fight against the nations. He's done that over the years. Verse 4 refers to the second coming of Christ. And I want you to see this here now. Jesus standing on Mount Olivet. This is where he left. And if you want to know he's going to return, this is where he will come back someday. And we, if we are then with him, will come back with him. I want to talk now about the glorified Christ. About the glorified Christ. Matthew chapter 28. And it's very important to understand that. We're not going to look upon the glorified Christ. He still loves us. He still has compassion. But he's now received back all his glory. He has all power. All power. Matthew 28:18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Everything in this universe is back in the hands of Jesus. Then turn to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. And we're going to pick it up in verse number 13. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girded about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes was a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as he had been burned in the furnace. His voice was the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, with his mouth with a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as sunshine to his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying to me, fear not. I am the first and the last. I am he that lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Jesus has the key to hell and to death. He has all power. Then in Revelation chapter 5, you will find also he is also the Lamb of God. Revelation chapter 5, and you pick it up in verse number 1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written, within on the backside sealed with seven sigils. And I saw a strong angel proclaim with a loud voice, who is worthy to open a book and to loose the seals thereof. And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, were able to open a book, neither look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said to me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open a book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders stood as a lamb, as had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which the seven spirit of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Remember what I said every time we pray here, that the prayers are on the altar, the smoke is going up. Here it is, golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof. For you were slain, and redeemed us to God, by your blood out of every kindred, and tongue, and people, and nation. Has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Jesus is a Lamb. And then in Revelation 19:11, he's going to return in power. Revelation 19:10. He will come in power. If you read this from verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold a white horse. He that sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he did judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it shall smite the nations. He shall rule over the rod of iron. And he treads the winepress of the fierce of wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his vesture his fire name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the supreme ruler of the universe. I'll let you read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 22 through 28, which talks about that God laid all things under Jesus. But I want to read Revelation 20 right now. Revelation chapter 20. And to those of you that are watching and you are not saved, if you do not get saved, when Jesus comes back, he will no longer be your friend. Today, he is your friend. Today, Jesus is your Savior. But tomorrow, when he comes back, whatever that is, he will be your judge. If you read this from verse number 11. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. There was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in them. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Someday, Jesus is going to come back. And when he comes back, he will come back as a judge. He will be the judge. He's no longer going to be the Savior. The days of the Savior will be over. Now, I want to pull together this whole series right now. I want to pull it together now. Accepting the love of God. All right. In Matthew 22:37, Jesus said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Accepting the love of God. I preach now 8 sermons on this. 8 messages. And the question is this, have you been able to understand? Have you accepted yourself and are you able to love yourself? If you still say this, I don't like myself. I really can't love myself. Here's what you're doing. You are in total agreement with Satan. Let me say that again. If you cannot love yourself, if you cannot accept yourself and love yourself, you are in total agreement with the devil. Because the devil says, I hate you. The devil hates God. He hates everything that God has, and he hates us. And you see, when you are in agreement with the devil, he will go to the courthouse in heaven. And he will simply there say to Jesus, you sit to the courthouse, that this man, this woman, agrees with me. They hate themselves. And therefore, you cannot bless them. And I have the right to afflict them. That's what it boils down to. Now, who created us? Who made us? God. Keep your finger right here, because I want to spend just a few moments on this. And turn with me to the first book of Genesis, chapter 1. Actually, the book of Genesis, book number 1. In Genesis, chapter 1, we read the following. In verse 31, and God saw everything that he had made. He saw everything, including you. And God said, everything is good except you. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. When God created you, when you were born, when you were conceived in your mother's womb, God did not create junk. He created something good. We might have lived a bad life, but we are not created bad. We were created to be good. If there was nothing good in us, why would Christ die for us? Would he die for a piece of junk? He died for you and me that were in sin, so he could redeem us and bring us to that beautiful thing that he originally wanted to have for us. So what you and I need to do is to be learned all about Jesus. How Jesus loved us, how he's been with us, how he cares for us, and so on. It's to simply say, God, help me now to love myself. Not my sins, not the bad things I've done, but help me to love myself so that, Lord, I can be in agreement with you. When you can't love yourself, you see, your body will not heal. Because your body will say, I'm no good, I'm bad, I deserve to be sick. And the moment you are in agreement with God, then the love of God can flow through you and heal you from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Let me read these two verses one more time in Matthew 22. The man said, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus unto him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There's a key to everything that we need. We have a risen Savior. He's all powerful. He's our Savior today, and tomorrow he will be our judge. And this is what I want to read, the last thing I had here. Jesus, our Lord and Savior. There will come a day when he will no longer be a savior to the unsaved, but a judge. Is Jesus your savior or judge? Let's stand for prayer. My Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you and praise you right now that you will help each one of us to break the agreement we have had, many of us have had for years with Satan. That we don't like ourselves. In the name of Jesus, on behalf of my brothers and sisters in Christ, I break that curse. I destroy that bondage right now. And I pray for the Holy Spirit to begin to descend upon men and women, that they will be able to say, Lord, thank you for dying for me. Thank you that you love me so much that you sent Jesus for me. And thank you, Lord, that I can love myself so I can love my neighbor and love you. Set me free today, Lord, for the bondage of hating myself, disliking myself, criticizing myself, and putting myself down. And I thank and I praise you for that now. In Jesus' name, amen. The altars have opened. If you have a need today, the elders are here. You come. Let them minister to you. In the name of Jesus. And if you watch, and you say, I'd like to be saved. Here's what you do. You simply say, God, forgive my sins. Jesus, come on in and save me. I believe that you're the Son of God. Come on in, Jesus, and save me. And he will. And then invite us and call us, we'll help you. If you have any other needs, don't hesitate to call. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends his love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that You would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in You. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that You paid for my sins on the cross through Your shed blood, and that You died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank You for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with You. Help me to be obedient and to walk with You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
Been listening to Pastor John S. Terrell of Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. This message was the final part in the series, Accepting the Love of God, and was entitled, The Risen Jesus. Jesus could have publicly appeared at the temple, but instead chose to only reveal Himself to the disciples, because the gospel must be accepted by faith. He still had a tender mercy after the resurrection and took time to minister during the next 40 days. Building the faith of the disciples before He ascended from the Mount of Olives, and promised to return to the same spot at the end of the Antichrist's reign to set up the thousand-year kingdom. Jesus is in heaven today, operating in full glory and power, possesses the keys to death and hell, and someday will return to rule in righteousness. He is our Lord and Savior, but there will come a day when He will no longer be the Savior to the unsaved. Where do you stand? Is Jesus your Savior or Judge? This message is available on cassette, CD, and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1336. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can learn more about Pastor Terrell's ministry, read insightful articles, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the toll-free number in the United States is 1-888-708-3232. That's 888-708-3232. For calls from outside the U.S., the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.